This gospel lesson is an insomniac's dream. Keep awake. Stay awake. Maybe that's not what Jesus is talking about. Maybe Jesus is not telling us never to rest, never to sleep. I don't really think he is, although some of us may count that as somewhat of a blessing along the way. But rather, he's talking about watching and waiting, and that's what we are about in this new season of ours, this season of Advent. It is a time of waiting. It is a time for watching. And I think what Jesus is really trying to tell us is that the coming of the kingdom of God comes to us in ways that we often miss. We can be like the people in the psalm and continually complain that God does not see our suffering, that somehow God is not paying attention to us, when God is really paying attention to us all the time. You see, most of us who have been driving for a while, who have our driver's licenses and have been driving, have a way of driving often that is less than attentive. Oh, I'm not saying you're not paying attention to the traffic and all that sort of thing, we do. But like anything that is a skill that we hone over a long period of time, we tend to do lots of things automatically without really thinking about them. Many of us may have had the experience that I have had on several occasions after 5 years of being the rector at St. Mark's in Lewistown, traveling up there from Harrisburg 3 or 4 times a week and driving up 322. I get on outside of Harrisburg and just go. It's a great road. You really kind of move real fast, unless there's a Penn State game. That's a different question. But most of the time, you just sail right through. And on occasion, though, you know, that I am a teacher in the Stevenson School for Ministry, and we make our physical home when we meet twice a term up in Danville. Now, going to Danville from our home in Harrisburg is pretty much the same route until you get over the river, and then you have to take the exit. And I don't know how many times that I have just been on that road and kept right on going to Lewistown. Usually I figured out I had made a mistake, and unfortunately, the next exit is one of those you can get off, but you can't get back on, so you have to go up to the next exit. So a trip that was supposed to take me a little over an hour ended up taking me almost 2. We often can do that. We can get so used to doing something that we're not terribly attentive. And I think that's the point that Jesus is trying to get across to us. That we need, if we are Christ's disciples, we need to be attentive. We need to be watchful. We need to be able to see the ways in which God is working God's purposes out in the world daily. And in fact, we need to see how God is working God's purposes out in our hearts. And maybe we can be more like me driving the car up 322 and be on autopilot when it comes to our discipleship. We've been doing it day in and day out, and we just keep sailing along. And we're not attentive to the signs that God gives us in terms of the directions that God wants us to take. And sometimes we're not very attentive to the very acts of God in our midst. Oh, we can look at our world today and we can look around and pretty much we can say, hey, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Most of us could complain deeply about all of the inconsistencies and the problems we find in our world. And somehow God tarries. God's kingdom is just nowhere to be seen. But if we are truly attentive, we look at history a little bit. Not yet a century ago, people were being executed in many parts of the world for the smallest crimes. But that's changed, for the most part. That's only one thing. We can look around and we can begin to see many things where the values of the kingdom of God are being taken care of daily, incrementally, tiny bits, small little bits of progress along the way. But because we often see just the big problems, we miss the fact that God is working God's purposes out in small and tiny ways. And in fact, that's the way God works in our lives. Because it's the human heart that's probably the hardest thing to change. And so it is that we change ever so slightly in little incremental bits. But change we do. We can look back at our own individual lives, and we can hope and pray that we are different today than we were a year or two or three or four or 5 years ago. We can hope and pray that we love God more deeply, more dearly, that we walk with God more closely day after day after day. That is the way the kingdom of God comes into being. And God is working God's purposes out even when we think we can't see it. Be attentive, Jesus is saying. Look around you. He talks about the great and grand cosmic portents of the sun disappearing and the moon not shining anymore. That indeed will happen. Jesus was predicting these things without the benefit of modern science. But scientists tell us these things will happen. We'll have to wait around maybe three or four billion years. But the sun will burn itself out and will become a great supernova and consume everything we know of as the world in which we know it. We won't be here for that, at least not in the body. But in fact, it will happen. So the sun will stop shining and the moon will not shine anymore. It's a fact. It's true. Now, maybe we can't figure it out specifically, and maybe without the benefit of modern science, we could predict that it would happen but not pin a date to it. But that date is really so far in advance, we don't really need to worry about it right now. And so rather than looking for great cosmic portents, maybe we need to take the other example that Jesus gives us, which is the figure of the fig tree. He says, you know, when the shoots come out and they're tender and the leaves start to grow, you predict that summer is near. Well, where is the kingdom of God coming alive in that same way in our lives, in our world? Can we see where the kingdom of God is becoming real in our hearts, in our communities, in the world in which we live? And if we can see it, then we can predict the coming of Christ. That's what this Advent season is for. The church, in its wisdom, gives us this time of year, a time to train us in the art of being patient, in the art of being attentive and expecting great things. There's probably not one among us in this room that hasn't been thinking about Christmas. Kind of hard not to with our world this day when everything is already there. But we in the church, we haven't decorated anything yet. We haven't put up any trees or no creche, nothing like that. We're still waiting. It's a time for us to think about and to train ourselves in the art of patience and in the art of expectant waiting. Kind of like a child. Now, a child will go to school every day and wait for a bus, and that's waiting, that's expecting, but it's a passive kind of thing. I know some kids are really excited about going to school, but most of us are not at one point or another in our lives. And so we go and we wait for the bus and we kind of diddle with our phones a little bit, or we start doing something else, or we pick on each other as we're standing there, you know, just waiting and waiting and waiting for that bus to get here. Is that the way we wait for the coming of Christ? Is that the way we anticipate God's power in our life? Or are we like the child who in that very same spot has a different style of waiting when they're waiting for the parade to come by, when they're waiting for something that they can hear off in a distance, that they can be attentive to as the music plays and as the crowd starts to murmur and everybody is waiting for the great floats and the music and all that sort of thing? We just had the holiday parade here, as in so many communities, and how many children among us are waiting for the end of the parade, not because we want it to be over, but we know what's at the end. It's the man, the jolly red man in the big red suit. And somehow we're waiting to see Santa Claus. That's like what we're supposed to be doing right now. We already know that Jesus came among us. We receive the grace and the benefit of Jesus being with us. And so we use this opportunity to train ourselves in that kind of active waiting, looking forward to something exciting, just like we do in the church during Advent and we're doing out in the world as we prepare ourselves for Christmas by cleaning the house and decorating and baking cookies and wrapping presents and doing all that stuff, getting ready. Are we getting ourselves ready that way for the coming of the kingdom of God and its fullness? That's what this season is about. That's what Jesus is trying to get across to us. That we don't need to stay awake because somehow we've had too much coffee or too much stimulation along the way and we cannot get to sleep. That's not what he's talking about, but rather that in our waking hours we are truly attentive and we are actively expecting God to do marvelous things among us. That's what we are about to do. Not waiting for the bus, but waiting for the parade. Looking, being attentive, getting excited. Oh, Christmas will come and we will have a great celebration to be sure. And then, of course, a few days later, we kind of forgot all about it. And I think that's what Jesus is warning us about. That we can't afford to do that with the kingdom of God. We need to be Advent people. We need to be expectant, waiting people each and every day of our lives until we see the coming of Christ in all of Christ's glory, whether it is when Christ calls us home or the sun shines no more. In either event, it is what Jesus is preparing us for. It is what Jesus asks us to school and practice for ourselves, to be attentive and to wait. Wait with expectation. Wait for great things to happen. And when they do, to know that they come from the power of our God. That's what Advent's about. It's a season of discipline. But not penitential discipline. It's a season to train us and raise us up to be expecting people, waiting for great events, confident that God's power will work itself out in our very lives.